Hello, and welcome to Autistically Unapologetic, the unfiltered and unmasked podcast about everything autism. Here's your host, Devin Morrissey.
Hi, and welcome to Autistically Unapologetic with me, Devin Morrissey. I would like to officially welcome everyone to episode 15, where today I will be continuing my hobbies and interests sub-series with our next guest. My next guest and his younger sister are here to join me as he shares about one of his favorite things to do that regards going to different places. They are also here to share about their time on the inaugural season of the US version of Love on the Spectrum and share some tips and tricks about looking for love, especially for those looking to apply for the third season of the show. Please welcome to Autistically Unapologetic, Subodh Garg. Why, hello, Subodh. How you doing?
Hi.
What's up? Hi, Artie. How are you?
Hi. Sorry, the camera's a little small, so we're struggling to both be on, but... We got it.
I love it. Well, listen, you two, thank you so much for coming on. I know that Subodh has been dying to be on this podcast for a very long time, and I've been wanting Subodh to come on for the longest time. I must say, life has been incredibly busy, and it's funny because we were at dinner not too long ago, and you said, you know, hey, when am I coming on your podcast? And you know what? It completely slipped my mind. So I thank you so much for reminding me about that, Subodh, because I've been telling you I want you on here. So if you're ready, I am ready to get this show rolling, if that's cool with you and your sister.
Yeah, sounds great. Thanks for having us, Devin.
Hey, it's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. I am super happy to have you both on here. And I feel like it's been a long time coming. So when were you first diagnosed, Subodh? And Artie, feel free to jump in this if you like. When were you first diagnosed autistic? And what was the reaction to finding out that you're autistic?
I was autistic at the age of 3.
Oh. How did that make you feel when you found out that you were autistic?
Do you remember when you found out?
Do you remember when we found out being autistic? I couldn't communicate well, and my grammar is kind of reversal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was pretty young. My mom was actually like 8 months pregnant with me when she found out.
Wow.
Thing. What a stressful time.
Oh my gosh. That's incredible.
I'll pop on for a sec. Yeah, so it was a tough time for sure. My mom was really the champion that got Subodh to where he is, and it just they mourned the loss of this expected life of a firstborn son. Mm-hmm. that people have in Indian culture. But then they just accepted the reality, and then they said, let's just make his life as amazing as we can. And it's really incredible what they've been able, all three of them, my parents and Subodh, have been able to achieve.
You got to not downplay yourself, Artie, because you have done a lot for Subodh. And I think that many people out there will agree with that. Tell me a little bit about your childhood growing up autistic, Subodh. I know that we've had the chance to talk a little bit about that through some panels that we've done and through just internal conversations outside of the show and outside of social media. What was that like for you growing up?
What was it like you growing up? I used to like video games. I used to like mathematics and sports and sometimes grammar.
Ooh, you were a big grammar bud back in the day?
Yeah.
I love it. That's amazing. Now, I got to tell you, Subodh, your family is hashtag goals. Aww. I mean, literally, it is true. And as I've mentioned earlier, I've had the opportunity to do some interviews and some panels with you guys over the last 2 years, thanks in part to a little Netflix show that we were both on. And right. I know that, Artie, you and your parents have done a lot for Subodh to get to where he is now. What have you learned from your brother, and what excites you about his future?
One thing that I've really come to admire about Subodh is you can't really tell him anything that he doesn't want to do, but if he wants something, if he puts his mind to it, he is like a dog with a bone. I've never seen such tenacity in anyone else my entire life. He's decided that he wants to get a job, and he is out there sending emails every day. He's always emailing recruiters. He's emailing best buddies. He's on top of it. And it's remarkable. I've never seen anyone who's as devoted to something, anything, as he is. So, and he's so regimented, and I lack regimen in my own life. So I always try to take a sample of that. So he's very clear about, you know, Mondays are for this, Saturdays are for this, Sundays for this, and that's his regimen. And there's something to be said about switching up your routine, but there's also something to be said about having a routine in the first place. So those are things I really admire about him, which is pretty cool.
Yes.
Absolutely. I mean, there's so much to admire about Sabota, and especially I learn a lot, so much from Sabota. Every time we have a lots get together, hang out, every time we have a dinner, I feel like I'm always learning something from Sabota, and it's pretty incredible. It actually kind of puts into different life lessons that you take with you moving forward. So I have a lot to thank you for, Sabota. I really do. Now, some of these episodes that you may not know revolve around interests and hobbies, and I've had some fellow Love on the Spectrum cast members or family members from both Australia and the United States share their hobbies. Now, I know that you have enjoyed a particular hobby of traveling, and it does not go unnoticed, whether it's on TikTok or Instagram, everywhere pretty much. But as you have traveled to literally every single part of the globe, I am not going to lie, I'm quite a bit envious. Tell me a little bit about your travels, because I know that you just came back from pretty two big trips to India, and a very big place I know you've been looking forward to going to for a very long time, is about Canada.
Canada.
So tell them about your trips.
For India, we just saw the family, then we had parties. Ooh. And then we saw the landmarks. Oh, and then for Canada, we just did a lot of things. We went to go to the Vancouver Public Library, the Vancouver Aquarium, Stanley Park, ooh, Lionsgate, ooh, Bridge, Squamish, and then what was? Then we went to see downtown Vancouver.
Mm-hmm. Wow,
that's good rundown. You said the public market, Granville Market.
Granville Market.
Yep, that was really amazing.
Wow.
We met so many fans there, which is always such a treat for both of us.
I love that. Think of it, Sabota's a fan favorite. I mean, hello, how could you not love Sabota? It's ridiculous. And it's interesting too, because I remember we were talking a little bit about your trip to India a little while ago. That is a long flight. How long is it usually to get to India?
Oh, it's just layovers.
But how many hours did you have to spend in the plane to get there?
One day each way.
Yeah, something like 22 hours in a plane. It's so much. Wow. That's why you have to have a layover, as you said. It's a lot. But as kids, we were always going to India almost every year, pretty much.
Absolutely. And also, too, you guys got to experience a lot of memories. I saw quite a bit and heard a lot about your trips to India and Canada, and they were pretty amazing from what I heard from Sabota. And just out of curiosity, because are there any countries or states that you're looking to visit in the future? I mean, you must have a bucket list somewhere about traveling.
I'm going to go to about 9 different places in the world.
Can you listen? Ooh.
For the 9 future, I'm going to prefer to go to Cairns, Australia, Venice, Italy, and then Seoul, South Korea, Bangkok, Thailand, and then we'll go to Nairobi, Kenya, Cape Town, South Africa, on to Brazil, then on to Peru, and then Chile.
Oh my God.
Can I?
Is this one trip or multiple trips?
It's just multiple trips.
Okay, good. Because he was talking about visiting 5 countries in one trip. Do you remember that?
Yeah. I mean, you'll get more jet lag. Then you'll be more tired.
I was about to say, Sabota, can I sneak into your suitcase? I mean, it might be a little heavy, but you know, you could just drop me off somewhere and be like, okay, he's left for on his own. Have fun getting back to the U.S. That's fantastic. I mean, South Korea is absolutely gorgeous. Kenya, from what I've heard, is amazing. From
what we've seen from the show, season 2, right?
Yes, and God knows that looks absolutely insane. Amazing. Absolutely. But we're probably going to, but you probably have to stay on the actual car, because God only knows what happened if you get off the car. And thank God that didn't happen. Well, speaking of that show, I'm going to move topics to a part of the reason why we're even friends in the first place. So Love on the Spectrum is an Australian reality TV show surrounding the lives of autistic individuals as they encounter love, dating, relationships, etc., etc. It premiered on Netflix in November of 2019, so right before COVID, almost 5 years ago, which is amazing. And did you and your family get a chance to watch the original Lox? If so, what were your thoughts?
So I'll be honest, between the two of us, I'm the one that watches the reality TV. that is not Svoke's thing. So I was the first one to watch it. I'm definitely the Netflix binger, Love is Blind, the whole thing. It's all awful, but wonderful. So I was the first one to watch it. And I remember watching it. I didn't watch it as soon as it came out, but I watched it during the pandemic because suddenly I had a lot of free time on my hands. Yeah. And I was just crying and crying and crying. It was such a beautiful show. And the fact that I'd seen this depiction of adults on the spectrum looking for love, which is literally what Svoboda was obsessed with, aww, looking for love, finding that person he'd been looking for so long. I mean, it touched my soul.
Really?
And then I told
how
my
long
parents,
was
I'm like,
he looking for, if I may
when
ask.
Did you start wanting to find a girlfriend?
In July of 2021.
No, that's when you got a girlfriend. When did you start looking?
It started last year.
Nope.
Oh, so the year before? Or...
No. How old were you when you were younger and you didn't have a girlfriend? How old were you when you started wanting to have a girlfriend?
At age 28.
28 sounds more reasonable, yeah. Ooh. That sounds about right. And what year was that?
That was in 2016.
Yeah. So it had been that long, and he was constantly going out for dating events. Do you want to talk about the dating events he went to?
What dating events do you go to?
No, you. Which ones did you go to?
Oh. Oops.
Go ahead, Sean.
No, you're good. That was the best question so far. I think that was my favorite question of the podcast so far. Thank you. But tell us a little bit about the dating events that you've been to, Svoboda.
Any events that I've been to are the MASC events, and then that's one. The mixed race conferences. Just went there for just 2 years, but I haven't been back in a long time. So, and then I went to go to Creative Support, and then I went to the Westside Jam. So we can meet a lot of his autistic adults who used to be in the Pathways program, and then we just met. Then we went to go to Best Buddies events.
And the
all right
dating, right?
Speed dating.
He went to speed dating events, and our cousin was single at the time too, so the two of them would go together to dating events. And I mean, it was years in the making, and it was over and over. He kept trying meetup events. He would go to, right?
Yeah, sometimes
meetups. So over and over, he was trying to meet someone. It just was not happening. And so I see the show that it's happening for people, and it made me cry like nothing else. I tell my parents, you have to watch this show. It's so beautiful. Of course, my mom cries like me. and so my mom and I were the ones who really connected with the show. I don't think have you ever seen the Australian Love on the Spectrum?
Sometimes I just saw Sharnay and Jimmy.
Yes.
Yeah, we actually met them last year.
Yes.
That was amazing.
I remember that actually. I remember
hearing
about it.
They were at my birthday party, which was amazing. It was so cool. But no, it's not really his jam. He watched maybe some, but not too much. But it was really me and my mom that really connected with the show.
Yes.
Oh, I love that. By the way, shout out to your mom, because your mom is, she's amazing. Yeah. She's absolutely amazing. And I could preach the world about your mom. It's not even funny.
So, here sitting and chatting, she's in our office, running the office, writing a report at the same time. I mean, she's... I told you just yesterday, like, it's remarkable what you're doing. I can't imagine.
Yes.
Really?
Absolutely. Just in time for Mother's Day as well.
I know, right?
So after two successful seasons in Australia and a massive audience reaction around the world, Netflix and Northern Pictures decided to bring Love on the Spectrum to the United States. And as we all know, the rest is history. You, Svoboda, were one of the main cast members to help launch the inaugural U.S. version of the show. And I gotta ask, how were you approached to be on Love on the Spectrum? I gotta ask, because that sounds like a story in itself.
We just got a lot of emails.
They had an open casting call, and it came to his email, and he applied without telling us. And what happened after you applied?
And then I got selected.
Yeah, well, he skipped a few steps, but yes, that's essentially what happened. We don't know exactly actually what happened, how he got selected. Actually, I have no idea. I'd like to think that it was just his charm and smile that did it for everyone.
Oh, yeah.
Could be something else. We don't
I mean,
know. I
how
will
could you not
say,
support? It's so charming. It's not even funny.
There's a consultant that was involved with the Australian season. Her name is Dr. Logison, Liz Logison. She's a researcher at UCLA, and Sabo did the Peers program with her, right? Is that what it's called?
Oh,
The Peers
right.
program, 2 years in a row. He did that program with her. She's well aware of Sabo. He was, that's a program that teaches adults, social skills, how to date, how to approach, how to make friends, things like that. So Sabo, like that was one of his avenues to find a date, is he was emailing her all the time, trying to
Oh, so
say like,
both saying it on this
telling.
other. He's shaking his
He
head like,
was emailing her
no.
constantly in her office, constantly. How can I find a girlfriend? I can't find a girlfriend. What can I do? And they were just like, so we have no idea. Like, we just keep trying. And I like to think that she was our guardian angel and suggested him for the show just to get him off her back, maybe.
I don't email them anymore.
No, he's done with that now. But I think that, like I said, what did I say? The dog with a bone, right?
Yeah.
He was so persistent. He wanted a girlfriend. He wanted to meet
Yes.
someone. He exhausted every avenue, and look where it's gotten him. It's amazing.
Exactly. I mean, the casting team did an amazing job casting that first season. I don't know how they managed to pull it off. Even 3 years this month, I still don't know how they did it, but they did it, which I'm so happy they chose who they chose. I gotta ask you, what was it like to have Netflix and Northern Pictures follow you, Sabota, as you entered this world of dating for the first time, or re-entered the world of dating?
What was it like to have the show filming you? Did you enjoy having cameras around, or was it hard?
I enjoy having cameras around.
Yeah, did you ever feel embarrassed or nervous
I used to, but now things are now getting better.
Oh,
When you
you
were
felt
filming,
embarrassed?
did you feel embarrassed when you were on your dates when they were filming?
Just only the first one, but now things have recovered.
Okay, being on the
Oh.
first date, yeah. So yeah, he handled it really well.
Yes, he did. I believe it. You know what? Sometimes first dates, they can be the most nerve-wracking thing. I mean, I remember my first date with my girlfriend, and I gotta be honest with you, I was sweating in places I haven't sweat before in my first 28 years of life. That's all I gotta say
Oh
about
my gosh, I can't imagine.
that.
But again, it worked out, right? You guys live together now, right?
Yes, we do.
So amazing.
Yes, and I know that Sabote has in the works of moving out and living on his own, which I can't wait to hear about that very soon. It's incredible.
It will happen soon. You'll
Yes,
see,
I
you'll see.
100% believe that. I gotta ask you, so you were clearly a fan favorite of the first season, and the world truly fell in love with you and your family throughout. And I gotta ask this question for actually the both of you. What was your favorite part about shooting season one of Love on the Spectrum US?
Is to be on camera.
That
Is to
I
have
will
the
take that as an
stats.
answer.
These are called dazzling good looks. There you go.
I like that. Yes, I love that. Because you do got the good
Oh
looks,
my
Sabo. You got
gosh.
the good looks.
Yes, dazzling good looks. Ridiculous. No one could ever accuse him of letting the fame not get to his head, right, Spo? I'm just kidding. What did you enjoy meeting the crew?
Yes.
What else did you enjoy about filming?
Meeting the crew, back and forth conversations. Going on a lot of dates.
It was just overall such a positive experience. Every part of it was great.
Absolutely. I mean, and I will just re-echo what Sabo just said. We literally work with the best crew, I think, on reality TV. I mean, the crew is so incredible,
Yeah.
super, super, super there for us, super understanding. If there needs to be taking a break during filming, they actually gave us that. And just watching that happen on both seasons, they're incredible. And in a strange way, they've kind of become family, actually, ironically
Yeah.
enough, which is what I love. You know, whenever we see our casting directors or even the people that took our COVID tests during that
Yeah.
interesting time, they have become family, which is amazing. Now, Love on the Spectrum US premiered in May 2022, it's hard to believe, to a massive audience reaction, and it was in the top 10 most watched Netflix television shows for several weeks around the world. I gotta ask you this both again. What were your reactions to the success of the US version of Love on the Spectrum?
What did you think about the show?
We just met a lot of fans.
Were you surprised that it was popular, or you knew it would be popular?
I think it was popular.
Did you think it would be popular, or you didn't know?
I think it would be popular.
Oh, he knew it. I didn't know.
He knew it from the start.
Yeah, he knew it. And he was right. I mean, the reception was crazy because I loved the original Australian version, but the explosive way it premiered and was so beloved by everyone in the U.S., in the U.S. version, was unprecedented. We didn't expect anything like that. And for us, it was never about being famous, being on TV. It was always about getting him a girlfriend, and that's what happened. He got a girlfriend from the show, and you know, it didn't work out, but yeah. Still, it was still such a positive experience.
I have to agree with you on that, Artie. You learn so much from just finding love, and to do it in such a public way, it's incredibly nerve-wracking. But at the same time, Sabo, you have the courage and the confidence to go out there and actually do it. The fact that you did that and did an amazing job and won the hearts of so many fans around the United States, if not let alone the whole world, since people even knew you from Canada, that speaks volumes in itself, I think, more than anything can ever say. So I gotta ask, as speaking to fans, as one of the main cast members, you are easily recognizable from the show. And I know this is going to be kind of a difficult question for you to answer, but what has been one or some of your favorite fan interactions?
My favorite fan interactions is to see how's life been.
But do you have a memory, a specific fan that you liked meeting?
I just like meeting when they are on Instagram.
Oh, okay. What about in person?
Sometimes.
Is there a specific person you liked meeting as a fan?
I do not know a specific person.
We've met so many amazing people, though. What about New York?
Yes, we met Chloe Fineman.
Chloe Fineman is amazing.
Ooh, I gotta hear this story. How did you guys meet her?
We just went to go to a taping of Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Wow. She recognized you?
Well, so she followed Sabo on Instagram, and I see this and I'm flipping out. She's one of my favorite comedians ever. And I reach out and I'm like, Chloe, we're such big fans. We've been watching SNL forever. And she's like, yeah, I would love to meet you guys. Come to New York anytime. And we're like, okay, I'll get you tickets to SNL. And so we did, and we went, and so she was the one who got us tickets to see the show. And it was so amazing. One of the best experiences of my life. I don't know about him, but one for me, for sure. I'm such a comedy nerd, so it was life-changing, like life-affirming for me.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I will tell you, we went to the taping, we went to the after party. Most of the cast and crew did know Sabo. So
they're
all
serious?
Fans of all of you guys. Yeah.
Whoa.
All of the writers, like, I was freaking out. The writers were starstruck. The hair design woman, who's been on the show since the beginning, she said, I'm never starstruck, but I'm so starstruck right now.
Oh,
I was blown away. I couldn't believe it.
Oh, that is so sweet. I love hearing that. Who knew that SNL was a big fan of you, Sabo? Who knew? You grew up as a major fan of Saturday Night Live, and now Saturday Night Live are fans of you. That's a pretty good full circle moment, I have to say.
Absolutely.
It's absolutely fantastic. So for all of us who are on Love on the Spectrum, whether a main cast member or a supporting cast member, there really is no denying that this show has changed all of our lives in so many ways. For the both of you, how has Love on the Spectrum changed your life, and how has the show affected you professionally and personally?
How did the show change your life,
Sloan? How did the show change your life? We had a lot of meetings.
Mm-hmm. And?
That's it.
That's all. What about, how is your life different because of the show? Is your life different at all? How did you get your job at Catella?
We did, there was a fan
Ooh.
of yours that did the job interview, and that got him the job. So we don't want to work at Insight every day.
So he got his current
Oh.
job because of a fan of the show. He was such a big fan, he found a job for him.
Yes.
What about cameos? We
Ooh.
just read the script.
Do you enjoy, you make but that was only because of the show, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's something different. That's something that's really
Yes.
changed his life too.
And Artie, how about for you? How has this show changed your life?
Oh man. Well, I didn't expect my brother to be such a celebrity, so that's been really cool. Just to see how much people love him has been amazing. Also, I would say being able to tag along to these amazing experiences that he's been able to have, seeing SNL, meeting so many fans of his that are my heroes, is just been amazing. So being this tagging along to all these amazing opportunities that he's had has been really awesome.
Yes.
This is wonderful to hear. I think what has been so special about watching how this show has changed Sabo's life is the friendships that he's gained.
Totally.
And I know that it's pretty hard to believe for a lot of people that are out there listening to this, but a lot of the Lost cast in LA, we hang out on a regular basis,
All the
you
time.
know, literally all the time, like
Yeah.
Danny, Abby, David, Sabode, me, all of the families. Honestly, whenever we all get together, the fun just never stops, you know, whether it's at Abby's house for Easter Sunday or whether it's at Dave and Buster's for David's birthday. Like, there's always a good
Yeah.
time right around the corner. There's never a dull moment with this wonderful family that, in a way, Sabode, you actually helped launch, believe it or not. Like, you were the one that helped get the US version of the show the foot in the door. So
Wow.
I'm giving you your flowers, man,
That
because you
is so beautiful,
100% deserve
Devin. Oh, that's so beautiful.
it. Now, speaking of season three, as everybody knows, and it was kind of a shocking yet not surprising announcement, but Love on the Spectrum is now being renewed for season three. What are some tips or tricks or pieces of advice that you wish to offer to all those out there that are looking to apply for the third season of the show or just looking for love in general?
If there is someone that is coming on the show that's feeling nervous or scared, I would just say don't be afraid to apply, first of all, because we're just a small family in LA. We never expected any of this. So you never know. They may really love you. They may find you a great match for someone, another member of the cast. You just never know. It's definitely worth trying. So always try. Do not be afraid of rejection because the worst thing they can say is no and consider you for the next season, you know?
I just don't want to say no all the time, but I'm gonna have one of the biggest shocks. I'm not gonna be afraid.
That sounds great, Spud.
That's
So
right,
don't be afraid
Sabode.
of them.
Never, ever, ever be
Don't
afraid.
be shy too.
Yep, don't be shy.
I think I learned a lot about not being shy from Sabode, shockingly enough. But I think that's one of the best pieces of advice is don't be shy and don't be afraid to try new things. I mean, looking for love on national TV is clearly something that a lot of people want to think about doing first glance because, as I think Artie mentioned earlier, a lot of reality shows, in particular reality love shows, a lot of those relationships, they're kind of not really genuine. They're just basically there to be on TV. But with Love on the Spectrum and watching Sabo's journey in the first season, it was all real. It was 100% completely all real. And watching that journey
Was.
was just amazing. It was absolutely fantastic from the kite flying day, which I know you guys have because I signed
We do. We have it signed by everyone from the cast in LA and crew. It's such a special memory that they let us keep that.
Watching you not give up and not being afraid to try. That takes a lot of courage and a whole lot of balls. And I think that you really helped set the standard of other journeys that we saw last season and we're going to possibly see on season three. So I'm really excited to see how you have played an input on future cast members to come. So my last question, Sabode, for you and also for your sister as well as this. What would you like to say to all of your fans out there that have been watching your journey unfold within the last 2 years now? It's crazy that it's
Years,
been
yeah.
2 years and who have been rooting you on and cheering for you from literally all parts of the world.
Do you want to say anything to the fans?
There was a merch says that do not subtract money.
Don't subtract money.
Oh, wait, that's amazing.
Don't do
Wait,
that.
because right, because he said that on the show, right,
Yeah.
Sabo?
Yes, he
Amazing.
did.
And where can people get this wonderful merch?
He has a website that's linked in his Instagram bio, so anyone can go over there. We're going to be announcing a sweepstakes really soon too. So everyone keep an eye out for that, and it's really exciting.
Fantastic. Well, I guess that's the one thing that Sabota is going to say to all the fans. Watch that money carefully. You could be going traveling somewhere very nice if you do. Well, listen, you two, I know that I may not always say this a lot, but I am so thankful for our friendship more than I think
Yeah.
Sabota will really ever know. Because people ask me all the time, hey, are you actually friends with Sabota? I'm like, I actually am. Yes. And it's so much fun to spend time with you, Sabota, whether it's at dinner, whether it's at your house singing karaoke and Christmas songs and having fun white elephant exchanges, then that everyone kind of fights over the same thing and thank God there's no blood that's involved. And I am so thankful that lots brought us together as friends, and I am super excited to see where our friendship goes from there. So I'm
Yes.
so happy you could come on this podcast
Yes, finally.
If you like what you heard on this episode and want to hear other episodes or stay tuned for future ones, be sure to like, comment, and subscribe to this podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and on YouTube. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I'm Devin Morrissey, and I'll see you next time right here on Autistically Unapologetic.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Autistically Unapologetic with Devin Morrissey. If you like what you hear and you want to see more, don't forget to rate and subscribe to stay tuned for future episodes. Again, thanks for listening.